Ladies and gentlemen, according to Sky News, 2020 will be remembered as the year that the grand solar minimum really kicked into gear.
G'day and welcome to Outsiders Weather and the Skeptics Ice Age Watch, where 2020 will likely go down as the year the next grand solar minimum cycle began, as temperatures across the globe continue to take a serious and notable turn for the frigid.
And I'll save the rest of his report for the end of this video, because he's kind of a cheeseball, although I really appreciate that he's spreading the word about natural cycles and the fact that our planet is cooling, not warming. Indeed, it takes all of us working together to get the word out there. But there's some other things that he neglects to consider, like the effects that these cold temperatures or the precipitative extremes, meaning both really dry and really wet, droughts or flooding, or the extreme hail, all of these things associated with this record low modern levels of solar activity that is definitely having an effect on our food production, and in fact has resulted in 2020 also being the year that the establishment was forced to lock down the population, to destroy the economy, and attempt desperately to retain control as food shortages begin in earnest. Now let's look at some of those precipitative extremes first, beginning in Ireland, where they have experienced the driest spring on record. Ireland's total grain output to drop 100 million euros worth in 2020 after the driest spring since 1847, when records began. Now, this is causing huge problems, obviously, for crops, including grains, where you see we took the 100 million euro hit, but also, notably, in straw and straw bales. There are 1.6 million fewer bales, which we read here from the Irish Examiner, is about half of the straw production this year that just isn't happening. They're just not even getting it. Farmers, as you're reading here, quote, are just practically closing the gates on crops which are not even worth harvesting. Just like the sugar beets that were frozen in the ground in the U.S., just like the canola that was frozen in mid-September, early freezes as the growing season shrinks. All of these things, because the solar activity has dropped off, mean that there's less food for our animals and, in turn, less food for us. The combination of dry conditions in Ireland and reduced winter crop plantings will result in a severe supply reduction that makes it more expensive, if it's still possible even, to feed your animals. That's a 50% reduction in supply. And we recommend you sell any livestock that serve no purpose. Kind of a weird way to make that recommendation there, but notwithstanding, that's what's going on there. On the flip side of the precipitative extremes, in Manitoba in Canada, crops destroyed, cattle are without feed, and farmers are just doing their best to press on in the face of economic warfare, bankruptcies, and now this. Just staggering what people are going through. Quote from the article, prior to this past weekend's rainfall, we really needed that rain. Right, there was minimal rainfall before this, and it was we were really grateful when it started raining. However, then it just kept coming. Over the past few days, I watched in dismay as 400 of my acres became totally submerged in water. It will not be salvageable. This poor gentleman's farm is turned into a lake here. He expects that his crop will be completely destroyed. Quote, many grain producers that I know have pretty much written off their crops right off the top. Now, this is no longer Ireland. We're now talking about Canada. This is happening on multiple continents because this is a global phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. In the livestock industry, producers are scrambling right now to try and feed our animals. The grass is totally inundated with water. Cow and pig farmers are worried that these flooded roadways also are going to keep deliveries of feed from reaching our animals, so our hay is underwater and we're not able to even get out to the rest of the world to buy food for our animals. And as a result, we're only days away from running out of feed and these animals are going to go hungry. It's a very sad situation there. Although even more severe is the flooding going on right now in China, where 8.5 million people have been affected. 750,000 people are displaced from their homes. And indeed, 63 people lost their lives because of the intense rainfall that started and just didn't stop. This looks exactly like, if you remember from wiki.iceagefarmer.com/ in the history section, we read about the Great Famine of 1315, 1317, where It's exactly the same story. It began raining in the spring, and it just never stopped. And it didn't. It kept raining throughout the entire summer, and we didn't get our, we couldn't get our crops to dry, so we didn't have any feed for the animals. It's the same story, just playing out now in modern times. And it was the same record low solar activity back then as now we're experiencing, because these are natural cycles, and we just need to work through them now as we did back then. But it's dangerous, right? That millions of people, in fact, it was a quarter of Europe's population died in 1315 to 1317 after that extremely wet summer destroyed all the crops and all the feed for animals. And it takes years to rebuild agriculture. Before I move on to this next chapter today about the hail damage that we're seeing around the world, I just wanted to follow up. I had briefly mentioned that President Trump has commissioned a new fleet of nuclear-powered icebreakers to be on par with the Chinese and the Russians' fleet. So here's this memorandum that he issued on safeguarding the U.S. national interests in the Arctic and the Antarctic regions. We need, in his words, a new fleet of icebreakers so that we can maintain a strong Arctic security presence. Now, I don't know about you, but I still have ringing through my head Al Gore talking about how all of the ice was going to be melted by the year 2000. So to see this made a priority of national defense, that we commission huge nuclear-powered icebreakers, multiple of them, and of course, China is in the middle right now of building, this is from 2019, they're in the middle of building their biggest ever nuclear-powered icebreaker. This is right on par with the fleet of monster nuclear icebreakers to make sure that they can maintain their dominance even as the ice grows in the grand solar minimum. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not any secret that these people who are in charge of the military have access to data that the rest of us do not. And so when we see them making moves to deal with coal environment warfare, it's worth noting. And that's why I noted it. And of course, we've seen other moves from multinationals and from military, like moving all of their vegetable production indoors, getting away from the dangerous growing seasons outside. It's quite clear that the militaries and the multinational corporations of the world are taking have been taking preparations for some time. And I hope you are too. Let's talk more about the hail, which has been ratcheting up in the low solar activity. This is another function of the galactic cosmic rays and the way that that all plays out. Hail and flooding in Calgary after this massive storm earlier this week. Northern Calgary was pounded by a storm on Saturday, where large hailstones, some as large as tennis balls, were doing multiple billion dollars of damage. In fact, the damage was called extraordinary. Unprecedented. We get tired of these adjectives here at the Ice Age Farmer Channel because, of course, it is precedented, just not when we were alive. It was this last time we went through the 400-year cycle. Calgary's mayor saying that there was a powerful hailstorm delivering about $1 billion worth of damage. It's stunning. And it wasn't, of course, just, you know, it did decimate tons of homes. Pretty stunning. But obviously, when you're having hail fall from the sky, it's also the crop. Again, it's also the crops, the food production that suffers. Here from Agro Insurance, we read that Alberta farmers are trying to survey the damage after the hailstorm. Basically, quote, all we were left with our crops was a little stem sticking out of the ground and some roots also sticking out of the ground. It's like someone took a lawnmower to my crops and just cut them right down. Normally, my canola would be about a meter high, and we'd have some nice flowers. This year, it's not even there. This puts us back as if we just are seeding the crop yesterday. And now, if we have a frost in September, like we did last year, because of the shrinking of the growing season, we're not even going to get a crop out. And now it'd be 2 years running that the Canadian crop was just not there. And that's, like we've been saying, Canada goes offline during these record low solar activities because temperatures drop and you just can't grow what you used to be able to grow as the growing zones shift completely. In Italy, there was a massive hailstorm a couple weeks ago. Heavy thunderstorms developed, mainly affecting Lombardy. Check out this hail. Pretty nasty stuff. Those are some powerful winds in the atmosphere up there. And Spain as well has been having a series of hailstorms this year, also affecting crops. This year, quote, hail is wreaking havoc on Aragon. Some 30,000 hectares of fruit, vines, and cereals have already been damaged. this year, hailstorms are causing a lot of damage. In fact, we've already caused 20 million euros worth of damage. This was on the 16th of June. After that, in fact, the next day, Spain got hit again with a massive hailstorm, and it is expected to drastically affect European stone fruit production. Extensive damage right before the harvest. About 7,500 hectares, that's 18,000 acres, were severely impacted, with about 100%, 60 to 100% most affected. Some stunning videos. We don't have time for those right now. So Spain, Italy, the formerly safe growing zones that we've talked about before, just getting blow after blow right now. Another one, 9,100 hectares of agriculture in Fez-Meknes were affected by hail. This is in Morocco. The intensity of the storm in certain areas has caused damage to several crops and certain agricultural infrastructure. Not just the crops, but literally the farm equipment, the irrigation. These things are buckling under the pressure of these increased hailstorms, which is pretty stunning. Quote, the damage that occurred following the storm concerned fruit trees, olive trees, vegetables, and cereal crops, with 20 to 80% of our crops lost just in this one hailstorm. It's staggering in these cases how quickly the damage happens. These farmers are just pouring in their time on a daily basis, and then in one storm, it's all squashed, all washed away. So, finally, in Serbia, 30% of their raspberry crop was just destroyed. All of these in the last couple weeks here, and that's why I wanted to do a little bit of a feature today on both the precipitative extremes and the hailstorms, because, ladies and gentlemen, these crop losses haven't stopped just because there's a pandemic going on. In fact, if anything, they have continued and accelerated a bit this year. But, of course, that's why they're locking everyone down, is because we don't have the food anymore. So the bad weather has destroyed 30% of our raspberry productions. Prices are already rising. And worse yet, because of the lockdown, we're not even able to get harvest workers. We only have half as many harvest workers as we need. So even though some of our raspberries have been destroyed in hail, we still don't have enough harvest labor to come up here and harvest this fruit out of the fields. Ladies and gentlemen, you can tell there is a confluence of factors, some of the natural cycles, and then some of the forces working against our ability to feed ourselves and trying to destroy the food system so that they can bring in this fake food, the lab-grown meat, the synthetic Soylent Green and cockroach milk, all of this nastiness that they want as they push us away from natural food and towards a transhuman future. That's just a brief look at a few of the symptoms that aren't being talked about in other areas of the news. And now we'll get back to Sky News and the gentleman who's talking about some of the other symptoms that we're seeing right now. It is refreshing, I will say, that there are more and more media outlets talking about the natural cycles of the sun and the cold temperatures now, and in some cases even the crop losses that are accompanying these. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching me here, the Ice Age Farmer channel. I do need your support to keep this channel going, so please check out iceagefarmer.com/support, or you can hit me up straight on patreon.com if you're already over there, and I very much appreciate that. I couldn't do that without your support. So without further ado, here is Sky News, and thanks for watching this update. Thanks for spreading the word so that people understand what's happening to our food supply, and that as a result, we all need to be growing our own food right now, educating the communities around us about what's going on, and that they too should be growing food. And let's do that. Let's go build great things.
G'day, and welcome to Outsiders Weather and the Skeptics Ice Age Watch, where 2020 will likely go down as the year the next grand solar minimum cycle began, as temperatures across the globe continue to take a serious and notable turn for the frigid. One example being Lake Tahoe. According to Electraverse, in the past, snow settled on Lake Tahoe in June on average once every 10 years. But between 2011 and 2020, it's happened four times. That's once every 2.5 years instead of once every 10. The trend is clear. Meanwhile, the surface of the River Torrens froze over as South Australia turned white with frost last week, and Adelaide CBD shivered through its coldest morning in 76 years. The mercury dropped to 0.9 degrees Celsius at Adelaide Central West Terrace, about 5:20 a.m., the coldest temperature in the city since June 24th, 1944. And the temperature in Adelaide's northern suburbs dipped to its lowest minimum since local records began. One ABC listener said she stopped along the Upper Torrens with her children just before 9 a.m. when they noticed the icy layer on the river. "I've never seen the river freeze like this before. It's amazing," she said. I don't know why she's listening to the ABC, but anyway, the poor kids must have been completely baffled, having been taught, no doubt, that the planet is getting hotter. Where'd the ice come from? Likewise, South Africa has been hit by an intense cold front, with lows 10 to 12 degrees Celsius below the seasonal average across the majority of southern Africa. In New Zealand, a cold front system has kept cold air stuck in inland valleys and will see some of the biggest frosts of this year. Oh, and good news for New Zealand's farting cows and sheep. They've got a reprieve. The ski season has kicked off with a bang. And at Mount Hutt, they've had the traditional drinks celebrating those first on the ski lift. Despite last September, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern telling the United Nations about the extraordinary threat that climate change poses. Well, Jacinda, rug up nice and warm this morning and look out your window. That's global warming. And now for some good news brought to you by Electroverse. On the back of substantial surface mass balance gains over the past few years, the Greenland ice sheet looks set to continue that trend of growth we've talked about in 2020. Data-driven facts reveal vast regions to the southwest are currently gaining record levels of snow and ice. Never before in June has the Greenland ice sheet grown by more than 4 gigatons in a single day until now. And more good news, electricity prices. Electricity prices in the Nordic countries are likely to be unusually low this summer. Why? Because they've had so much snow during the winter that they've got even more melting ice turning into water, kids, to power their hydropower plants. May was cooler than normal in Scandinavia. There was a lot of snow this winter, and snow levels in many parts of Norway are set to remain above average, said Natalie Schala of the Cicero Centre. And even more good news. Someone better alert Sir David Attenborough, Barack Obama and the ABC and all the climate cultists who have taken every opportunity to tell the world the Great Barrier Reef is dying. Stunning footage has captured up to 64,000 turtles bobbing about in the ocean off Rain Island. There were so many, they had to get a drone to count all the turtles coming ashore to lay their clutches of eggs. Clearly, the turtles don't think there's anything wrong with the Great Barrier Reef. Indeed, as the turtles themselves once sang, "We're so happy together."